Welcome. This is the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're looking at the Christmas story, and we're taking our, we're looking at what the Jews were looking for. We're seeing what it was like when Jesus came. We have said that each of the Gospels presents him in a different way, and the Gospel of Matthew presents him as the king and his kingdom, and the Jews were looking for a king Messiah. Yesterday, we talked about Hannah, and we talked about how God gave her the burden to pray, and she birthed the king Messiah. It's the first time we ever see the word Messiah. Go back yesterday and listen to that on the archives. Now, we're going to go right now to the book of Daniel. And we're going to particularly look at the book of Daniel because the Jews were, when Jesus came, looking for a king. They were looking for a king that would rid them of the iron beast. When the Jews were carried off into captivity, the first time when their temple was burned, and their brightest young men were carried off by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, he took with him Daniel and the three Hebrew children. We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their Hebrew names are Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah. And these young Jews who lived so close to God and obeyed God's orders, even his dietary orders, they would not follow the king. But the king sent them to college. In those days, if you wanted to capture a country, you took their brightest leaders, and they took the brightest young leaders, and they also wanted the knowledge of those young leaders, especially Jewish young leaders with anointing on them, and they took them to the king's college. When it came graduation time from the king's college, we see that in verse 20 of chapter 1, Daniel, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, at their oral test, the four, Daniel and the three Hebrew sons, he found them 10 times better than all, now get this word, the magicians, astrologers that were in his realm. I want you to hold that word, magicians, in your heads. Now, he had a king, he had a dream. This is the times of the Gentiles. He was the first Gentile king to overthrow Jerusalem and to rule over it. So God showed him the times of the Gentiles. And Daniel tells him what you saw, what he saw. Daniel 3, verse 31. O king, you saw a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and his form was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, actually copper, his legs of iron and his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw till, till is a time word. A stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken together and became like the chaff of a summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, and there was no more place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, he's going to interpret that for them. Later on, Daniel interprets it. He says, you are the head of gold. But after you is going to come an inferior kingdom. We know that that inferior kingdom was the silver Medes and the Persians. After you, there shall rise another kingdom. After this, a kingdom of copper, Alexander the Great. And then the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Later on, this was the Roman Empire, two legs of iron. But later on, when Daniel saw this empire, he saw it as a great, terrible beast. It has iron teeth. And it's also shown, the revival of that empire is shown in the book of Revelation. So it's the great Roman Empire that was so terrible, and it absolutely had Israel in its teeth at the time of the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now, then Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, saw the two iron legs, and he saw the iron legs. At the feet of them, there came out toes, part of iron, part of clay. And that's the end of the times of the Gentiles. And in verse 44, it says, "And in the days of these kings," the toes, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." A kingdom is going to be set up, "which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people." In other words, the Jews are going to rule over it. "But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands," man didn't have anything to do with it, God does, "and it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the copper, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great king hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, the interpretation sure." So the Jews, here they see this, they know about Nebuchadnezzar, they know about the Medo-Persians. At the time of Jesus, they know that history, Alexander the Great, and they're living at the time of the Iron Beast. So they have this scripture which tells them that God's going to strike that beast and that there's going to be a kingdom set up that will fill the whole earth. Now they know from Hannah, her prophecy, that it's going to be a king Messiah and he's going to set up a kingdom on the earth. And that's what the Jews are looking for. They have other scriptures they put that with. In Genesis chapter 49:10, Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, prophesied what would be happening to them in the end days. And he says, "The scepter," kings have scepters, "shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Numbers 24:17. Another prophecy. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." A star is connected with a scepter in the prophecies of the book of Numbers. Stars. Now, in Genesis chapter 1:14, when God created, it is written, this is what happened on the fourth day. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons." Actually, the word is moeds, M-O-E-D in the English, and it means an appointed time. God has appointed times on his calendars. These are going to be marked by the sun, the moon, the stars. "And let them be for signs and for moeds and for days and years. Let them be for lights." So they're going to be star, sun, and moon are connected with signs. First, they divide time into seasons, but they're also going to mark these moeds on God's calendar. In Matthew, we have the presentation of the King Messiah and his kingdom. And in Matthew, we don't begin the story with so much the shepherds. We have some other characters. We have the Magi. Remember the magicians? Remember how Daniel studied with the magicians? That's going to become very interesting to us. But right now we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to see how that really and truly, in the book of Matthew, it's going to be pointed out to the Jews that the king has come and the king is offering them a kingdom. Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, Ben David, the son of David, he has to come from the lineage of David to be in the kingly line. The son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. Goes right on down until verse 6. Jesse begat David, the king. And David begat Solomon. And goes on right on down. And it gives us the lineage actually of Jacob, who of Joseph, who was the legal father as far as legal standing, not God the Father, but legal standing on earth. And he begat Joseph, the son of Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, who is called the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, what I'm going to tell you right now, I learned from a Jewish rabbi, and I learned it in Israel, and he wasn't very happy with the fact when he told it to me, but it was just thrilling to me. He said he thought that the book of Matthew was, you know, it was a counterfeit. And he said whoever it was knew what he was doing. And look what he said in verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto the Messiah, the Christ, are 14 generations. Now, one thing this tells us is how long is a generation? People debate and debate about how long is a generation. Is it 40 years? Is it 70 years? This tells us each of these men were considered a generation. So the generation was a man's lifetime. And of course, men lived longer a long time ago, but he calls it a generation from Abraham to Isaac and a generation from Isaac to Jacob. So a generation is a man's lifetime. And it says there are 14 generations. It mentions here in this verse 14 three times. And this rabbi was telling me, you see what they've done? Well, I didn't know what they had done. He said they're trying to prove that he came from David's line and had a right to the throne. So he said, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, David, the Jews, you know, they know about gematria, the number system. Every Hebrew letter, aleph is one, bet is two, gimel is three, dalet is four, hey, vav is six. So he said, the name of David, his number is 14. We would say DVD, David, dalet, Vav, Dalet. A Dalet is four, a Vav is six, and another Dalet is four. That equals 14. So they are showing, and God did it in his book. He said that's 14. He gave the mark. He gave the mark that he was the son of David. He is the promised King Messiah. He comes from the line of David. I didn't know about these numbers, but I said, oh my, another nail in a sure place. You can be sure that Matthew did. Matthew is establishing in the first chapter that he is the King Messiah. He is the one who comes from the lineage of David. You remember the blind man that called out to him to be saved? He said, Ben David, Ben David, son of David, son of David. He's calling up on him as the King Messiah to receive his sight. And he received it because he recognized that earth had received her king, that the Jews had received their King Messiah that they had been looking for. And tomorrow, we're going to see how the Magi tie right in with the revelation of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, HaMelech HaMashiach, the King Messiah that Hannah birthed in her prayer. We shall look for you to join us tomorrow in this wondrous season. Shalom.